welcome to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and I'm just delighted that you're with us again for another awesome episode. I want to thank all of the people that have gone onto iTunes and have clicked subscribe. You guys are never missing an episode. When a new episode comes out, it's going straight to you. So thanks for doing that. And thank you also for leaving your ratings and reviews. It really helps other people to find the podcast. And the more moms we have and the more people we have listening to the show, the better we can help just encourage each other and inspire one another. So that's the goal, and I'm just so pleased to see so many people listening and enjoying the content. Today we have a really interesting interview. My friend Lindsay Winch and I met when we both lived in Michigan, and she and her family, she has three little boys, and her husband, they moved to Qatar in the Middle East. And they moved for his job, and she just has a fascinating perspective on international living, and she's done extensive travel with her three little kids since living over there. So she has some great travel tips, travel destinations, and what is it like going to the grocery store in Qatar. It's a really interesting episode, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. Let's get to the show. All right, today we have Lindsay Winch on the phone. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
Good. This is by far the most traumatic time difference scheduling challenge that we've had so far. It's 1 p.m. here in the East Coast, and you are in Qatar. And what time is it there?
It's 9 p.m.
So we had to figure out, okay, who's going to do late at night or who's going to do really early in the morning? So thanks for squeezing me in after a long day of mothering.
No, this is great.
Oh, awesome. I cannot wait to talk with you about your life living in the Middle East because you're not from there. You are from the United States, so I just can't wait to get into this. But just to give a little background on you, Lindsay and I met when we both lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My husband was attending law school, and we went to the same church, and I remember you and your husband sitting in the pew in front of us, and after church we got to talking to you, and I was shocked to find out that you were one of the only people that I would come to meet that wasn't associated with the university because your husband was a pilot. So, but you just were the sweetest person, and you ended up having boys just like me, and so we had a lot in common. So let's give people a little more background on you from your perspective. Tell me about yourself, Lindsay.
Okay, so we were living in Michigan, and a great opportunity came up in Doha, so we took it. We had two twins, 2.5 years old and a 5 month old, and we decided to come in the midst of all that craziness and come over here to the Middle East. He's a pilot, so he works for the Qatar Airlines.
Wow.
It's the carrier over here. So we've been here for 3.5 years now.
So when he first got the offer to go work in the Middle East instead of being a pilot in the United States, what was your initial thought?
You know, we had thought about it for a whole year before. So when it finally happened, we're like, okay, we are ready for this. Let's do this. And as any move, you know, how can you really prepare for that?
Right. Well, especially with three little kids. Yeah, you have three little boys.
Yeah. It's quite the culture shock coming, but we just felt like it was the right thing for us to do. It's a stepping stone in his career, and we knew it was temporary, and it's going to help us to get back to where we want to be ultimately, back to the States. So it's one of those just leaps of faith you take that, you know what, this is what we're going to do for his career and enjoy the expat life. It's temporary, and it has been awesome.
Right. So you're in Qatar. Where do you live there? Do you live with other Americans?
Yeah, so we live on a compound, which is basically like a mini town. Uh-huh. You can call it. About 1,000 kids on our compound, about 3,000 people. We've got a nice gym, 2 or 3 pools, a couple playgrounds. We have a store, grocery store, a dry cleaner, a car wash. We have a restaurant, a coffee shop, a movie theater.
Wow.
We have a soft play area. We have a library. And so we can survive on this compound for a while.
Yeah. So how much do you actually leave?
Well, we go to school every day. We make the school run.
Okay.
And then we'll do like a big shop in one of the bigger stores. You can get a lot of the Western foods that we're accustomed to there, which is just for comfort, obviously, for comfort and familiarity. You need that sometimes. So we'll do the big shops. And then we, you know, it's funny because we live on the beach, basically. We're a couple miles from the beach. So sometimes we forget that because I'm from California originally, and when you go to the beach, you smell the beach, you feel the beach, but you don't get that as much here, so you forget that you're right on the beach. But we do get out there as much as we can. So we do leave the compound, but you really could stay here for a week and be totally fine if you didn't need gas.
Wow. And so once you leave the compound, how far away is like a shopping center you'd go to, or, you know, a place that, or the school that you'd normally go to?
It's actually really close, and most people live on a compound. People prefer them because there's security measures taken. You know, you have to show your ID to get in and out. And they're, you know, they tend the gardens, they water everything, they help with just where you're going. They, you know, it's just kind of nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
People prefer living on a compound. And you have the facilities that are really nice. So,
are these all pilots' families?
So our compound pretty much is specifically Qatar Airways pilots, and there's not many Americans. We know maybe two or three other families in the whole company. So it's an international compound. There's not many locals either. So almost all of our friends are exclusively international friends. From every single country.
So tell me, like, your best friends, your inner circle, where are they from?
Okay, so Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Scotland, particularly, specifically in the UK, South Africa, Italy. Our next-door neighbors are from Mexico, Spain. It's hilarious because, like I said, I actually don't have one local Qatari friend. I don't live on, there's none on our compound. Matt, my husband, doesn't fly with any, and there's none really at my kids' school. They're only 10% of the population, actually. So they are very tight-knit group, and we just live parallel lives. We see them on the roads and the grocery store, but they have such tight-knit families. I don't think they feel the need to reach out, and subsequently, we don't interact much. And I talk to people who have lived here for 10 years and they don't have a local friend. It's real interesting.
That is interesting. So are most people there just temporarily?
Most people are expats. Okay. Yep. Most people have 3 to 5 year. I think it probably averages about 3 to 5 years.
Interesting. Yeah. That is a whole different world.
Yeah, people come for all different reasons. You know, some people have been made redundant in their home country. There's a lot of economies that have been crashing the past several years. Or redundant is the same as you'd say been let go or laid off.
Look at you using the local lingo.
No one will know what that means. So anyway, so people come for that. Like, okay, this is an opportunity. We have to take it. We need a job. Yeah. Other people come for the higher pay, and other people come for the experience.
Wow.
Just get out, do something different with our family, and come back.
That is really interesting. And since your boys were so young, they were 2.5 and, would you say, 5 months when you guys moved there? I mean, they don't know any different, but how is their school experience there?
You know, it's the first time we've put them in school.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to compare it to when I went to elementary school, but in general, they start very early here. They go to a little British school with British uniform, patent leather shoes.
Amazing.
It's ironed. It has a collar buttoned down. It's adorable.
That's the best.
Adorable. Very British. They line them up, walk down the hall quietly, you know, very proper, very British. So that's obviously different.
Yes, very.
From the States.
Very.
You know, it's more like a private school in the States, I'd say. And then they start very early. And so, you know, my boys are 5.5, but they're reading. They are reading.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. That is such a great opportunity. Yeah. And is it super expensive to go to school there?
It's really, really, really expensive. My kids don't go to the American school. Number one, it's farther from my house. Number two, we're still on the waiting list. We're not even in, even though we have a priority because we have an American passport. So we're just, meanwhile, we are going, it's a great British school, and it's right by our house, and we're happy with that. But to put all three of our kids in, if we were to get in for next year, for the fall 2016, it would be about 200,000 riyal, which is about $60,000 for, would be first grade, 2 6-year-olds, and preschool, a 4-year-old.
No way.
$6,000 US.
And that's the only option, right? There's no public schools there?
No public school. So every school is private. The American school is definitely the most expensive and the most wanted. Mm-hmm. I would want them eventually to go there if we were going to do this long term. Mm-hmm. Because little things like even spelling is different in the British curriculum. Mm. And the thing, obviously history would be different. Even sports, you know, they do things like cricket and lacrosse, and which is great and fine, but anyhow, it's just slightly different. And right now we're just embracing it, loving it.
Yeah.
If teenagers, I think we'd definitely push for the American school, but right now we're happy.
That is so fascinating. How do people afford it then, if it's that expensive?
Yeah, so, well, the salaries are higher here, definitely, but most companies give you a package where we live on this compound for free, and water, electricity, everything's taken care of, and they give you money for schools.
Wow, so that's great.
About $35,000 a year up to.
So they get, so the incentive to move there is that they will give you a good life. They're going to help take care of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Depending on the job, but definitely if you're a Westerner, the salaries here tend to be double, if not more.
Yeah. That's, wow. That is really unique. That is just fascinating. And there's no what?
So there's no taxes. So there's a lot of financial incentive.
Yeah. Wow.
They usually give you a travel benefit as well, like money to travel every year.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, how often do you get back to the States then? Because, I mean, that's a big deal to fly back with your kids to visit family and everything. How has that been?
It's a big deal. You're right, Jessica. We literally live halfway around the world from our family from California. We joke that, like, you can't go much farther without actually coming back and being closer.
Right, it's like, which direction do you want to go? Yeah. Unbelievable.
So they just opened a direct flight, Doha to LAX, starting January 1st, and it is, like, the best thing ever, because that is the game changer for my family us going back. But it's a 17-hour flight direct, and I actually prefer that rather than Amsterdam to New York to LA or whatever. I don't like breaking it up. I'd rather get on and go.
Well, yeah, and especially with kids, like, their stuff is sprawled out all over the place and, you know, getting on and off the plane. I mean, it's just a process. So if you can just do that one time and then, you know, do your long stretch, it's a little easier than, definitely making your way through all those different airports.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you come home for a long stretch over the summers.
We do. It's the Middle East is very, very hot in the summer. Most people leave.
Yeah.
Even locals, actually.
Really?
They've got their summer home in France or whatever. Yeah. So almost, I mean, everyone leaves. The only people that are left here are the ones that have, you know, they have to work. Like, but all the teachers, you know, everyone is gone. It's funny because it's people that actually stay here over the summer say they love it because there's no traffic and there's no one here.
Yeah.
But you're talking about like 120 degrees and it's humid, like all get out, like the South. Humid and hot.
Wow.
It is.
That's rough. You want to get out. For sure. So tell me about driving there.
Oh boy.
You drive yourself around? You have a car?
I braved it. I had to take the driving test. Ironically, Americans have to take a driving test, even though we drive on the same side of the road here.
Okay.
But it's funny because Australians don't, and in the UK they don't. Several countries don't drive on the same side of the road, the right side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to take a drive test. So it's funny, they make Americans take a drive test. So I went to my drive test after having been here a couple months, and they put us all on a van, and we would follow this little sedan around, and the man sitting there would be testing us. So he'd say, okay, go around this roundabout, pull over, whatever. Like, he'd like test your skills, basically, for like 3 minutes. And then he'd pull over, the van would pull over behind him, and we'd switch. So there were like 30 of us women. So we're just like taking our turn, our 3 minute drive test that was like showing, basically, can you like work the brakes?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Can you follow directions? Yeah.
It was crazy. So we had this little van and the sedan in front of us. I guess they whipped into a little parallel parking spot real quickly. And the van needs to go right behind them because we're supposed to switch, right? Well, as he's going in trying to parallel park, he sideswipes this car.
No.
And all of us women are on the van going, ah! We're just screaming, holding on to our seats. It's like this old van, no seatbelts. He just sideswipes, just goes right in, sideswipes this car. And we look out the window, it's like all, you know, dented, paintless, and everything. And what does he do? He reverses and drives away. It was the total hit and run.
And on with so many witnesses.
During my drive test. They are testing me.
And like, who tested this driver?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. What an example to set for you.
It was, I was just like, the irony is not lost.
Right, exactly. But you succeeded and you got your driver's license.
Yep.
And you can feel so good about that. Wow.
We have big cars. We drive Armadas and we buckle our kids in real tight and hope for the best.
Wow. Wow. And there's a lot of traffic.
There's a lot of traffic. So it takes quite a while to get anywhere.
Wow. Yeah, that would be hard to get used to. But I guess if you're from Southern California, you're a little bit used to traffic, but not the like random side swipers who just do a hit and run.
Yeah. It's like organized traffic and expected. This is like unorganized.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'd be so nervous. Especially with my kids in the car.
It is. We haven't had an accident though.
That's very fortunate.
Yes.
So when you first moved over there, what were the hardest things to get used to?
Well, definitely grocery shopping. You know, you're used to certain things and you don't realize how used to certain things you are. You don't know how bad you just want macaroni and cheese for your kids. You have no idea how you're just like, I just want that. It's just easy, you know?
Yeah.
I can't find that. The grocery shopping is just, that was definitely the hardest part.
Yeah.
Just trying to find like meat, like that hasn't, I mean, like I said, it's so hot here. So, their sanitary standards aren't the same. You wonder how well it's been refrigerated. You wonder how well it's actually been wrapped, you know. So we do a lot of meatless Monday throughout the week. But, you know, you get used to it. It's okay. Like, I got my groove now. Like, I know where I get my meat. I know where I get my produce. I know where I get my Western brands that I need. I'm really craving Tostitos chips. I need scoops. I'm making my salsa. I need my scoops.
Yeah.
But funny things, like, they call... coriander is cilantro. So for the longest time, I would go to the grocery store and be like, I swear that looks just like cilantro, but it says coriander. But coriander are the seeds you plant, and then it turns into cilantro. So it's the same. So I had been here for months before I figured out, like, that is the same. I asked someone, finally. And same thing with... zucchini, they call it marrow, just different aubergines are eggplant. And so I just had to get used to the way they, what they called and what they, the names of fruits and vegetables. And then also they weigh everything by kilo and in real. So I'm constantly converting kilos to pounds, reals to dollars. Is this a good deal or is this a small fortune? You know?
Yeah.
So every time it's kind of like, you know, it's automatic now. I can just tell you right off the bat, oh, yeah, we'll get that or not.
Wasn't there something that you bought, I don't remember how long ago it was, where it was like, it was a small fortune, but I can't even think what it was.
Yeah, it was wild rice. Black, it was like this black, like, wild rice.
Yeah.
You know, just the black.
Yeah.
Anyway, was like imported organic from like North Dakota or something. It was 200 reals, $60, and it was about two cups of dry rice. It was crazy. Oh, and like, doesn't like 3/4 of the world survive off of rice?
Yeah, how can this ever be expensive anywhere? Wow.
Organic wild black from North Dakota, but still, I was like, what? Yeah, I didn't buy it.
That would be a huge adjustment. I mean, I've mentioned before, you know, moving any new place is tough. I mean, when we moved here from California, you know, learning, and I thought it was hard learning my new Target and learning my grocery store, but I still had the conveniences that I was used to, like the normal grocery store, the normal Target, but I just had to learn new aisles. So I can't even fathom going to the market like you are and learning new words for things. I mean, I just can't even wrap my mind around that.
The learning curve is, it takes a while, and it takes a while, especially if you have three little kids in tow that are like, mommy, can I get this? But, you know, you have to let go of your previous misconceptions. I never thought this was America moving here. I never thought it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
So you let go of things, your expectations, you just embrace the good. Like, their spice section is incredible. I mean, just to look at it, let alone smell.
Right.
And so you just say, okay, they don't have mac and cheese, but oh my goodness, my food is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Look at that, you know?
And
we would go to the grocery store, especially in the beginning, and we'd be like, let's pick out one fruit or one vegetable that we've never had before. We have no idea how to cook it. We have no idea where it's even from. Let's buy it. We'll research it. We'll try it out. And we'll just see. Like, we'll just see if we like it. Because there's tons from, like, India, a lot of Indian influence, Philippines. So we would just experiment and just try out new stuff. You just have to kind of let it go. Yeah, it's harder. Yeah, you're not going to get the things you're used to. But when did you ever think you were going to? Like, you moved internationally to the Middle East. So you just have to embrace it, you know?
Yeah, embrace it. Like, this is a season of your life, and you're going to get mac and cheese eventually. But for right now, you're going to eat these whole new things that just open you up to a whole new world. I love that perspective. Because you could definitely begrudge, like, oh, I just want Skippy peanut butter. Oh, I just wish it were easier. You can totally think like that, but that would make your days pretty long, and that would not be very pleasant to go through life like that.
Yeah, it robs you of the joy of today, really.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Absolutely. So one of the things that's been really cool about you being able to live over there is you have done a lot of travel with your family. Tell me about some of your family's adventures, because I know that there's people listening who, you know, dream of traveling with their family if that's one of their values and want to, you know, expose their children to other cultures and ways of life. And so what are some things that you've done? And then also include, what are some ways to do this a little bit more easily with, you have three little kids, and that's not easy, taking your whole family of five to these exotic places. So tell me all about that. That's a lot of questions.
I know. It's been an incredible opportunity. You know, we're literally halfway around the world.
Yeah.
And so we get to see all the different places that you would not normally be able to see. So our region is so chock full of amazing historical places that we can get to within a few hours, 1 or 2 hour time zone change, and are so family friendly and affordable. You'd be dumb not to go. I mean, it's been amazing. Egypt, Jordan, Oman, Sri Lanka, Italy twice, Germany. I mean, all these places are just right around here. Just a hop and skip away.
Yeah.
It's seriously so close. You think, oh my gosh, this, I can get there in a few hours.
You can go for a weekend. Yes.
Yeah. If you only have 3 days, it's worth it to go because it's like a 2 hour flight over. It's not a big deal. So, and obviously with the flight benefits, that's been awesome.
Right.
It's easier if it was just adults, but that wasn't the point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the point of it for me. Like, I didn't have kids to just ship them off to my mom and dad's house and Matt and I go travel wherever we can. Like, I want to bring them. Yes, it's a hassle. Yes, it's a lot of work. But, like, it's amazing experiences to see them in these places and their perspective. They have a really unique perspective on the world being children. And when you can hear them talk about these things, it's incredible. Like, we went to Jordan and we went to the Dead Sea, and you can float in the Dead Sea. There's so much.
I've done that. We were in Israel and I did that.
Oh,
oily.
So our son James, he didn't like it. He had a little cut on his finger it stung. And so anyway, he didn't like it. He got out, which was fine. He just played in the sand. But a few months later, we went to Thailand, and it's the Indian Ocean. He got in the waves. The water is warm. It's not salty. And he was just jumping around in the waves. He said, Mom, I love the Indian Ocean so much more than the Dead Sea because it doesn't sting my skin. And I'm thinking, you are 3.5 years old. I can't believe you just said
that. Who is this child comparing the Dead Sea and the Indian Ocean? Like, this is crazy. These opportunities you're giving your children. Yes.
Some people have said, why don't you do this international experience when they're a little bit older? Why don't you travel when they're older? And to that I say, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Yeah. We probably won't be here. This is like our carpe diem. We have to seize the day. Like, this is our opportunity right now. And it's unique and it's not going to last forever. And we're like, we are going to make the most of this experience. We have the time off. We can fly. It's right there. Do it. Yeah. Do it. Like, whatever the opportunity is, your life, kids or not, include them. You know, do it. It's been so great.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what have been the most kid-friendly places or the places that your kids have enjoyed the most?
So we recently did South Africa. Unbelievable for kids. The best place we've ever been to.
Wow.
They thought about how to entertain kids. We would go down to the V&A, which is like the waterfront, and they have a giant Ferris wheel for the kids. They had Hamleys. You know Hamleys? It's like the biggest toy store in the UK.
Oh.
And so they have like a Hamleys train going all around these shops. The kids can just ride this little Hamleys train. They have like a pirate ship and Tommy the tugboat in the harbor. The kids could take boat rides around. They had a playground on every corner. Awesome playground. Like, not just a swing. Awesome playground. We went to the aquarium and like, in the queue to get into the aquarium, it was only like a 10-minute wait or something, but they had free face painting for the kids. They had coloring for the kids. Every restaurant we went to had a kid's play area, even if it was like some fish and chips joint on the beach. It was like everywhere was just catered towards kids.
We really
swam in the ocean with the penguins. Like, it was not a public beach. But it was like $3 to get in for all of us. We get in, and it's called Boulders Beach. And everyone is just down there hanging out, sunbathing. Like, it's a normal beach, but there's penguins there. Like, real penguins.
Yes.
Like, penguins. You're not in Antarctica. You're in Africa in the summer. Like, you know, December is summer for them because it's in the southern hemisphere.
Oh, my gosh.
And my thinking, are you serious right now? And they just said, yeah, you know. They're wild animals. Don't feed them. Don't touch them. But just go ahead and enjoy them. Like, they're there for all of us. Like, go ahead and enjoy them, you know? And
that was just amazing. What did your boys think of that?
Exactly. It was just the mindset of not over-regulating things.
Yeah.
And just let them naturally enjoy. If you do touch them and they bite you, that's your own fault. You know? And so I love that. Like, I love that. They let you experience things without over-regulating it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't this.
Yeah.
It was, if you are smart about it, you're going to be fine, you know?
Yeah.
And,
wow.
So that was a kid-friendly place, but really all over in, the Arab world is really kid-friendly. Muslims have a lot of children. So most places you go around in this region, they love kids so well. So That's
awesome. And how is Thailand? I really want to go there.
I highly recommend Thailand.
Yes.
Incredible. Really, really, really affordable. The food is amazing. Who doesn't love Thai food?
Yeah.
Vacation. We just kind of hung out on the beach. But there was also lots of hikes to do around. Reasonable hikes for the kids. We went and saw the giant Buddha. We rode on elephants. we fed the monkeys. There was like this monkey area. You just buy some bananas, throw it out there, and they're these itty bitty tiny monkeys. And you would not believe how fast they can move their little hands. unpeel that banana and shove it in like 1 second. Oh, it's unbelievable. And so just for the kids to see that is so fun. And you'd be really surprised how much kids remember. I mean, we talk about when we went to Jordan and we rented a donkey and they were advertising it as, come, rent our air-conditioned donkey. That was like, like, you know, the wind is blowing in your face as you're riding it, so it's air-conditioned. And we nicknamed him Donkey Kong, and we rode on Donkey Kong. And, like, we still talk about Donkey Kong, you know? Yes. They were three.
They
can remember things, and it's just fun. Like, we've taken a zillion pictures and do the Shutterfly books, and it's just fun. But more than anything, my husband and I remember. We remember their faces when we rode on the elephant. We remember these experiences with them. Whether or not they fully remember or recognize the value of it, we do as parents. Mm-hmm. And one day, they will too.
Yeah. And it's not just about where you're going. It's about that quality family time that you're just spending that undivided attention with them. And of course, they're going to remember riding on the elephants and, you know, swimming with the penguins. Obviously, that's going to stand out. But I think more than anything, it's probably just being able to have those memories of just being together as a family that means so much to them.
Absolutely. That's been a really big blessing of being here, because it is just our family. Our family unit is it's really all we have. Our friends have come and gone and come and gone. And while they're a huge, huge part of our life when they're here, what is a constant is this right here, our family unit, my husband, myself, and our kids. And we've come together really a lot because of that. And you're right. It's one of those values that it's unspoken, that like, this is our family. This is the important quality time we spend together. And these are our people, you know? These are my people right here.
I love that. I love that. Because life can certainly get in the way of those relationships that you say are the most important in your life. But if you're not living that and truly prioritizing that time with your kids and your husband, and, you know, it's kind of like, it's easy to get distracted. And so when it's just you guys halfway around the world from the rest of your family, it's you. It's all or nothing. So I love that you've embraced that. I think that's just wonderful.
We've tried to.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's so awesome. So do you have any tips to make travel easier with kids? Have you found anything that works? I mean, even though I think you have a great perspective about the fact that you'd rather do it with them than without them because you know how valuable it is, you hope you can do it with a little bit of less stress every time, maybe. So is there anything that's been helpful?
Yes, absolutely. Well, if you're going to travel with kids, we, besides going home to the States, we really try to keep it within 1 or 2 hour time zone change, because that's even hard for adults.
Yeah.
So wherever your region is, I would say, just look for the places that are reasonable within where you live, and kids can adjust. 1 or 2 hours time zone change is fine, you know? Also, just the more you do it, the more they realize this is what we do. This is how we act on an airplane.
Right.
How we act in an airport. This is how we act at a hotel. And they know our expectations now of them. And they've really done really well as little travelers.
That's awesome.
They sleep really well on airplanes, which is nice. But also you can do things like get inflatable car seats. I don't know if you have seen these, but they are certified, like American standard certified car seats, and they blow it up, and so you can carry it on. It's real compact, really, real, a couple inches big, and you can just carry it on. So they're a couple $100s, are quite pricey, but it really beats this big bulky car seat that you do check in and out every time.
Interesting. I've never heard of this. Where do you buy them?
Amazon.
Really? Yeah. So does Amazon ship out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't ship many things because you pay quite a premium for it by weight.
Okay.
So not much, but you can. Yeah. I mostly just load up. I have a spreadsheet of things I buy in the summer and bring back.
So now do you buy a lot of macaroni and cheese at home and bring that back with you? Or have you just adjusted?
Yeah, it's funny. Such a necessity at first, but now my kids eat hummus and cucumbers and carrots and falafel and shawarma.
That's their new normal.
It's the new normal.
Yes. Kids are so adaptable. And I wish that we as adults could be more adaptable like them. Like, it was so hard for me to move last year. But my kids were just like, well, this is where we live now. So, hey, you're a new kid at the park. Let's play. And I'm like, gosh, I want your in the present moment kind of mentality. I love that.
I know. But we can learn a lot from our kids about, like, just having a good attitude about change. And I think they really do feel safe and secure, too, when we as parents, you know, offer that
stability,
that stress-free mm-hmm. kind of environment. Because I felt the same way, Z, when we moved out here. I was so stressed out that our son, he was 2.5, he developed a stutter. Mm. And he stuttered for a long time, like several months.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a long time. But,
yeah.
And all the way through our move until we had gotten settled here for about 2 months, then it just stopped. And I was about to see a speech pathologist or do something, but I realized what it was. It was the stress of everything. And I didn't realize how much my stress was, you know, being placed on him. He could feel it. He could just feel the tension. And then once we kind of got settled and got into our routine, he hasn't stuttered since. So they really can sense things.
Yeah. Interesting. And the more you realize, like, this is where we are for right now, so we get to choose to enjoy it or not. So, and you have done a fantastic job just embracing the now and finding the joy in the now and not waiting for anything different. I love that.
Thank you. We try. There's hilarious things, though, that we just shake our head and go, like, oh my gosh, let's take a picture of that.
Where do we live? This is something. Yeah. Oh, man. Imagine the memories you're building for at the 20-year reunion. You're just like, remember when we did this or that? Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. So something that's so cool is that you are getting to be a mom around all these different mothers from around the world. I mean, all those countries you listed off as people in your inner circle. I mean, I'm just so jealous to partake of their perspective and their cultures and their understanding. What have you learned from the other moms around you from all over the world?
Yeah, that's been so, so amazing to me because you can pick out the differences. Obviously, we're from different cultures. We're from different countries. We speak different first languages, even.
Yeah.
Different education, religious affiliation. But the thing that I've been the most impressed with and that struck me is all good mothers are the same. Mm. We all want the same for our kids. We all love our kids. And we have so many more similarities and differences.
Hmm.
And the similarities bring us together because there's such a strong tie in motherhood. And so, yep, it's like the United Nations at the park. It's like the United Nations at the coffee shop or breakfast. But we put all that aside and we're friends and we're moms and we have the exact same conversations that I have with my American friends.
Yeah.
Oh, my kid, this. Well, what do you do about the potty talk thing? Oh, they didn't eat anything for dinner, you know? And it's just, you know, we're all the same. You realize we are all the same in this motherhood gig. And it's so nice. It is so refreshing.
Yes. I mean, the things that get you through some of the hard days is being able to talk to another mom and say, what do you do about, like you said, the potty talk? Oh my goodness, stop the potty talk. Or what do you do about potty training? Or what do you do about picky eaters? And I mean, moms are our best resources, other moms. And so if we just ask them, what do you do about this? We could definitely learn something from each other, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's hilarious. We'll be at the park, and most other women here speak another language and definitely is like English is their second language.
Yeah.
And so you'll see them disciplining their kid, you know, in whatever language, and I get so jealous. I'm like, man, everyone knows what I say to my kids.
I know, right? I know. They're calling you out like, oh, listen to her.
I know, like everyone can understand me, but I don't know what they're saying to their kid.
Right.
I mean, I can assume.
Yes,
but
yes. The tone conveys with their message. That is
But
so,
I'm like, oh man, why didn't I learn Spanish?
Yeah. Totally, totally. You live just such a fascinating life, and you know that you're only there for a certain amount of time, and so you're able to just embrace this season that you're in. Would you do this again if you had, if you know, going back a few years before moving to the Middle East, would you choose this for your family again?
Absolutely. It's been amazing. Just, oh, in every way. The travel's been incredible. The relationships have been incredible. The international culture of this area has been incredible. I would absolutely do it all again. And the hardest thing is being far away from family. You're missing out on one-on-one time with your grandparents, real time with family. And that's the hardest part. Mm-hmm. But everything else about it is really incredible. With technology now, FaceTime, I mean, we talk a lot to them. Yeah. You know, almost every morning we're talking to a family member.
Wow.
And then call an early evening for them. So that is hard. I'm not even going to say that that's not hard. And I get really homesick at around the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel like, oh, it should be cold right now, right? And I just want to see, like, one can of pumpkin pie somewhere.
Right, so right.
Like, you know, or, like, Jingle Bells, anyone?
Yeah,
anyone?
Exactly. Snow? Unheard of. But then you go to South Africa and you're like, well, it's okay. Yeah. I'm okay.
Exactly. And you're like, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
So
it's your new normal. It's your new normal for sure.
And you really have to just jump in and say, hey, you know what? This is the opportunity of a lifetime. And
yeah.
What's time, like, complaining about the things we can't change, because this is going to be over before we know it, and we're going to be back, and we're going to be reminiscing.
Yes, remember those good old days. Oh,
yep.
Totally. This is just so fascinating, and I hope that, yeah, the people that are listening to this will get thinking, okay, if travel's our value, why wait until our kids are older, or why ship off the grandparents when we could do this as a family and build these memories? Because I mean, you just paint such a beautiful picture of such a diverse and interesting life you're giving your kids. And I just think that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
That's awesome. So
we are full. It's worked for us.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Well, we'll post some pictures in the episode post on the website of some of your travels. And they can see some of the South Africa. And, oh, man, I'm jealous of a lot of your travels. That's pretty fun, but I'm not so jealous of the 17-hour flight around the world to get back to family. That is hard to stomach.
I want to tell you one other story about that happened in Egypt that was super funny.
What's that?
We were in Luxor, and we went to see King Tut's original tomb, and they take us on this super rickety road, windy, don't speak one lick of English, but our tour guide was talking to our driver, like, in Arabic, okay, we're going to go up here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so we finally get there, and we go down this set of stairs, and first of all, we tip the guy. And I guess depending on how much you tip him is how long you can stay in the tomb and see King Tut's tomb.
Oh.
And I guess we tipped that much. We thought we did, but I guess we didn't. So anyway, so he leads us down, he turns the light on, and it is like the steepest stairs you will ever see. And we're going down the stairs, down the stairs, down the stairs. And this is our first trip we had gone on since moving here. So the boys are 2.5 and 6 months old. And anyway, so we get to the bottom, and it's just unbelievable. They're letting us take a few pictures. We can see where he kept all of his jewels, all of his gold, because they believe that if you die with a lot, you'll get to take it to heaven, right?
Wow.
So they wanted to be buried with all of it. So anyway, so we're talking, and Matt's like asking question after question, and all of a sudden, dink, the lights go out. Completely out. And we are like, I don't know how many hundreds of feet underground we are.
Ooh.
In this random tomb in Luxor, Egypt.
My
and
gosh.
The kids just go, oh, they start screaming. And all of a sudden, the guy who we had tipped flicks on his lighter, and he's like, come with me. And we walk back up the stairs. But that was him saying, you know, your 20 bucks got you the 10 minutes.
Right.
And now you get the lighter. And we're walking back up the stairs. We grab the kids, and we're walking back up these stairs.
No.
And we are just laughing the whole time. Like, I'm sorry, we'll throw you another 20.
Yeah,
but, like,
can we stay on here a
late.
Little longer? Oh, my gosh.
It was hilarious.
Live and learn. Live and learn.
Things don't always go as planned.
Yes, yes. And note to self, whenever you're tipping, err on the side of more tip than less tip. who don't want the lights turned out. Oh my gosh, how scary!
It was pretty funny. Oh, luckily, you know, there was enough light from the lighter and the cell phone that we made it back up.
Oh my gosh.
But it was so funny. We're like, wow.
Where are we? What are we doing with our life? That's one of those things you're going to look back on.
Totally.
That is amazing. That's amazing. Oh, Lindsay, this has been so fun chatting with you, and it's just so interesting to get this insight into this whole different way of life. I mean, this is just so fascinating. So are you reading any books lately, or what keeps you busy as a mom when you're not mothering? So as a person, not as a mom.
I try to work out regularly, and I've been reading a few books here and there. We just finished Charlotte's Web, Stuart Little, mm-hmm. Captain Underpants, mostly chapter books with the kids.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I do a lot of travel planning, honestly.
Yeah.
And just a lot of, like, FaceTiming. Like, we end up FaceTiming and kind of corresponding quite a bit in free time. So, yeah, that keeps me pretty busy.
I'm sure it does. Are there any travel resources that you recommend for, like, looking up if you're booking something or wanting reviews on something? Do you have any go-tos?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. Airbnb and HomeAway are two really good ones.
Okay.
As far as, like, booking hotels. And then, actually, I do a ton on Pinterest.
Oh.
10 things to spend in Thailand. Best 5 things to do in Istanbul. Whatever. And there are loads of resources, and those mostly link you to the best travel blogs.
Okay.
There's quite a few that I use that way, but I do almost everything on Pinterest.
That's great. What a great resource.
Yeah, it has been. And there's a lot of really great pictures on there with it, you know, so you can say, oh, okay, yep, I recognize that. And when you actually go to the site, you know. So,
That's awesome. Yeah.
Pinterest.
Oh, that is so great. That is so great. So what would you say, we're going to just do 2 final questions.
Okay.
What would you say personally is the most rewarding part of motherhood for you?
I think the things they say.
Yeah.
I always say hilarious things too. So just what comes out of their mouth, I think, from the mouth of babes is just, it has us laughing. And so I got this spreadsheet again of funny things they say. And so I've been writing that down, and it just cracks me up to go back through it. And I write down their age and kind of the context.
Yeah.
But what comes out of their mouth, how their little minds work and how they come up with it. I find my one son is very logical. So the way he views the world is just, you know, very kind of cut and dry. And then my other son's a little more analytical. And then the 3-year-old just says it how it is. So it's just funny.
Right.
I think just seeing the world through their little eye. Hilarious.
I totally agree. And really stopping to laugh at those things. I mean, I think motherhood can get so busy that oftentimes we just kind of like skirt over the top of the surface of the day. But to really stop and like look at our children and marvel at them and laugh at them and with them as they say these funny things and just really enjoy them, it's so we can miss that if we're not looking for it.
You're right. You're right. Totally. The day-to-day, the grind kind of gets in the way of...
It does.
Just the fun of it, really.
It is. You know? It is a fun...
It is fun.
It is fun. When we choose to look at it that way, it can be a lot of fun. That is so awesome. So the final question I have for you is, what would you tell your pre-motherhood self before starting on this international journey, before your twins and Eli? What would you go back and tell yourself?
I think I tell myself to just enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be ups and downs, and find the good in whatever situation you're in, and just really embrace the good and try to cling to that. Even, you know, in every situation, there's things you kind of wish you could change, but just, I try to be a positive person, and I feel like, especially in motherhood and in your relationship with your spouse, and just life in the ups and downs, just embrace the good, think positively, things will work out. And I think that's what I try to tell myself.
No, absolutely. You know, and not every day will go perfectly, but there's always tomorrow. You can try again, yep. And you can just keep going. They'll be good in tomorrow, too. That is great. Lindsay, I think you're extraordinary. A lot of people could not do what you are doing. And I don't know if my husband said, let's move to Qatar. I'm not sure I would just jump on that plane with my three little kids. So, but, I mean, the way you paint this picture, it empowers me a little bit that maybe I could live out that adventure if given the opportunity.
Yeah, that's it. You really, really could. I think everyone could if they had the opportunity, if they were on the same page with their spouse. You can do hard things if you know they're the right thing to do. You can.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I can do what you're doing. Yeah. And so it's interesting. If that's the direction you're going to go and you feel good about it, you can do it.
Right.
You can do it, even though it's going to be hard. But you're sweet to say that.
Yeah. No, you're just such an encouragement. And you're just an extraordinary mom, Lindsay. And you're making international memories for a lifetime. That is just so cool.
Thank you
so much for sharing with us today about your life and the lessons you've learned and the cool places you've been. I can't wait to post the pictures and share these resources with everybody, because I know a lot of people are going to be thinking, I wonder if this summer's the time to go on a trip with my family and where should we go? So I think that'll be a fun conversation for a lot of people to have.
Thank you.
You're the best. I want to see you in person one of these days. So we need to make that happen.
Definitely.
Yay. All right. Well, you have a good day, Lindsay.
Thanks. You too,
Bye.
Jessica. Bye.
Isn't Lindsay just fascinating? It almost makes you think that even you can go live in the Middle East. I'm so jealous of her many travels, but more than anything, I just really appreciate her perspective on, you know, making memories with your family. And even though it's far more complicated to travel with your kids, it's so worth it to build those family memories and to have that quality time. I love that. So I hope that I can incorporate that into my own life a little bit more this week. I hope you all have a great week. Again, if you want any more information about the show, you can visit extraordinarymomspodcast.com, or you can follow me on Instagram, JessicaDahlquist3. I look forward to bringing you a brand new episode next week. Until then, have an awesome week.